Hi, this is Mish Hancock, and you are listening to Mishmash, a place where I get to talk to the weird, wacky, wonderful people of this world, people I adore and want to know more about. I am here today with Cynthia Kirkpatrick. Cynthia is family CFO at Moneta, She Lift Project podcast founder. I was on her podcast. It was awesome. International best-selling author, speaker, community volunteer. What don't you do, Cynthia?
Sleep?
Yeah. Okay. That's right. I mean, do you have time to sleep when you're doing all of this? That's a lot.
It's a lot. You know, I pour myself into it, but there's a lot of support around me.
So, yes.
You know, just a lot of great people around me that helps make that happen.
Including your cool husband who was just on the podcast not too long ago. And I just love you two both so much. So I'm so excited you're in my life.
Well, that's how you came into my life was because he met me first.
JJ,
and she
yeah.
was on the podcast, which was amazing.
And it was so fun. And so talk about your podcast.
Anything in particular?
Just like, why did you start it? What, you know, you, I mean, obviously She Lifts, so you are lifting up women, you're showcasing women that are really cool and leadership. Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, I'd say out of the gate, what we found is it is about women, but it's also less about women and mm-hmm. more about mindset and, you know, obstacles and things you learn along the way that can be shared with everyone. And so I've had people question the whole female thing mm-hmm. and the goal behind it. But I would say, you know, my husband sits in every podcast, edits yep. it, and he, every time, he's like, I've learned so much. So I think it's, you know, it's really spreading knowledge, wisdom, and positivity through that
well,
podcast.
Right, because you aren't, you have to lift up others, you know, and if you're a leader of any sort, it didn't just fall on your lap one day and everything was beautiful. I mean, there were challenges kind of along the way. You had to learn things, right? And so you get to talk to all these amazing women who over the years have worked and gone through their challenges and done the things. I mean, not that they're all over. Wouldn't it be nice if it just was like one day, like, okay, you get to skate out the rest of your life. It's all easy now.
Yeah, here's my VIP and my punch card. I did 5 really hard things. I'm good now, right?
Yeah, right. Like, wouldn't that be great? It's like, okay, you're done. You're good. Everything's going to be so easy from here on out. I don't think it works that way on Earth School. But you started it. Why did you start it? Like, what was your thought?
I think it's probably a culmination of a lot of things, but being in a more male-heavy dominated industry, mm-hmm. both when I was in accounting and then in the financial planning world, especially at the level that we try to do it, work with it at Moneta, it was really, there's different challenges, mm-hmm. I think, that women face for various reasons, some inside our own heads and hearts and some external. And so I guess with the people I worked with, the male mentors, they wanted to help. They really did. They just didn't know how, right? So their path might have been, well, I've developed business by golfing. I don't golf.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm on the side of the soccer field, most people don't ask me with my kids. I don't play anymore. You wouldn't want to see that. That, you know, they're not necessarily asking me what I do for a living, but it's natural in society to assume and ask men what they're doing.
True.
And so how do we as women talk about what we do and just how do we go about it with all the other different things that are pulling on us? So it came from a combination of that, female clients who really wanted to work with women. So trying to bring in more female professionals to help them, like CPAs, estate planning attorneys, insurance people, mortgage people. So bringing more women in to help them and really then just learning from each other, saying, hey, I want to meet with great people and learn from them. And a lot of our stories for the women were the same issues and challenges. So I came home during COVID or toward the tail end, and JJ, my husband, would say, well, how was that coffee? How was that lunch? And I'd say, we're all going through the same thing. We could learn something from each other.
Yeah.
And I jokingly said, there's a learning opportunity here, right? So if we all get in a space somewhere and we share, we bring experts up and we share learning opportunities. And that's when he said, there's a podcast there.
JJ, the creator, his head went, okay, we got something here. Let's go.
When he knows I have a background in radio too. I double majored. So he knows I've helped him with video. So wouldn't be totally far-fetched.
Right.
But yeah, he was the one who kept pushing, it's the podcast, it's the podcast. So eventually, through a quick little argument of, I'm waiting on you, finally we got it going.
Very cool. Well, I love it. And so, you have a radio, and then were you an accounting major? Or, yeah, God love you. Accounting was the one subject. Like, I was a great student. I was like straight A student, until I got to accounting. And accounting was like this foreign world to me. I know my accounting professor would look at me like, this one is dumb as a box of rocks. And I'm like, I'm really smart in every other class. I do not get this. So I think it's awesome that you are doing the numbers thing.
What I think it's, especially I'm a CPA, so I started out in the CPA world.
Okay.
The practical nature of it is very different than the book nature of it.
Okay.
So I feel like it's much more problem solving, finding detective work, I'd really say, going in there and saying, how do these numbers work and does it make sense and what's missing and what's the story here? Versus, unfortunately, opening those accounting books in school, not fun.
Oh, yeah.
Not fun at all.
No, it wasn't fun. But still, it amazes me because I love numbers people. I value numbers people because you guys, so my business coach and I, when we work together, he'll say, I want to start this new thing and blah, blah, blah. And here's what's going to cost. And he'll say, great, because he'll know Mish got that from her spidey sense intuitiveness. It did not. There's nothing to back that up. And then he will sit with me and we will back up the numbers. The cool thing is my spidey sense is amazing. I'm like on with the number. It's just that if you said, how did you get to that number? Most business people I talk to would not like, it just came to me. That's what my head told me. Like, oh, great, Mish. Cute. Give us the stuff behind it. So we have to have the numbers behind it to back it up.
Well, I'm sure from a lot, so much of that has to be your experience. You've done these things over and over, and you probably don't even realize how much you're internalizing
exactly
the numbers. And so it's spidey sense, but there's probably a lot of like implanting of numbers along the way.
True. Yeah. I mean, I've done it a long time. You're right. Thank you for saying that. All right. So then how was it to navigate? I mean, I don't know a lot of women in the financial world. I really don't. It's mostly men that I know. So how was that to navigate that world?
Well, I'm still navigating, I'd say.
Well, you're doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
CFO, that's like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, family CFO. So really what that is, working with, so you think about a company, right? Mm-hmm. The CEO, who at the end of the day is making the decisions, the direction, the final direction, has its board of advisors. There's the CFO, the COO, the CIO, the CISO,
the C-suite.
And they're coming in with their expertise to say, okay, in technology, we can or can't do this. In financially, we can or can't do this. But at the end of the day, that CEO has the final decision. So that's really our role with families that we help is to say, what is your ultimate goal, vision, dream? What do you want to accomplish? And now let us present you with all the different ways to accomplish it. Hopefully ways that you're not thinking about because you don't do this 24/7, right? So go do what you do. Do what you do well and enjoy and do it 24/7. Let us come in and handle the numbers and the whole financial planning. So that's really the idea.
And then provide the guidance and what have you.
And execution and make it happen and look at tax returns. And I'm going to stop there or else I'll get too passionate and excited about numbers. I know. I'm really exciting at parties for sure.
But I think it's awesome because you have a passion for it.
So, I think women are still trying to figure out our place in this industry and probably a lot of industries, trusting ourselves, being ourselves, not having to, this partner who's 15 years older than me and successful did it by going on the golf course. I don't golf. And so—
Me either. I tried. I mean, because when I was in the corporate world and I was like, okay, maybe I should go try it in golf. And so I took lessons and I think I went to 3 of the 6 that I had signed up for. And after the 3rd one, I just looked at the guy. I was like, listen, I don't want to do this. I mean, if somebody said, here is 4 hours of time, Mish, what would you like to do? I guarantee you it will never be golfing. I have zero desire to do this with my world. So, yeah. So then what do you do if you don't golf, right?
You get creative and you talk to people and you figure out, you know, part of that really has been the podcast and what is my passion, my pen. Some of it's soul searching too. It's like, what is my zone of genius? I love learning. I love having fun and smiling and helping people. And, you know, thinking about women going through similar things, how can I marry that passion with getting out there into the community and being available if someone should need what I do for the full-time job?
Right, right, right.
And so, you know, and looking around me, right? Like, so some people at Minetta or financial advisors, other places, maybe they went, they have a, they grew up in a family surrounded by people with money that they could help, or they went to schools. They may have some tool or golfing or hunting, whatever it might be, that they can then utilize to network and build those relationships. I guess we figured out that I have a husband who has these video skills and audio skills and creative skills that when it came time, you know, just all the signs kept pointing to this is a message. This is something that needs to get out there.
Right.
And so to be able to then use his skills to, you know, as a couple, we said, okay, we have this vision of where we want to be with each other, our family, our three kids, and what does that look like? And you know what? It really makes sense at this point in our life to pour that energy and skill set into this project, the She Lift project, see where it goes and how it takes off. And so luckily, I was able to just sit around and say, oh, you lovely. back in the day when I helped, you know, record weddings with you, because that's what we did when we first started out. Now you can help me
on this side. Oh, cool. And I mean, as a family, what I love about you guys, I mean, you guys are like very healthy. Healthy in all aspects. I mean, not just like, oh, we eat healthy, but workout and mental and emotional health. I mean, you guys work on all of it together. I think it's amazing.
We do try. About 4 years ago, I started running every day. And then I got, after a little while, it became this weird thing where it's like, I'm going to see how many days in a row I can run. And so I have this little, I guess it's a probably that counting math brain where it's just like, I can't break the streak. And, you know, he works out all the time. But I think we really did get to the point where we would listen to audiobooks and say, you need to listen to this. You need to listen to that. And that's part of what I do in the morning when I run is I want to learn and he wants to learn. And so doing that together, plus, you know, having each other to hold us accountable and say, you know, is that really what you should be doing right now? Or
Gotcha. But the kids get to see it too, which really helps. How many kids do you guys have?
We have three.
Three kids.
Yeah.
And that'll keep you a little busy.
Oh, and they're great. I mean, I think I was just listening to a book this morning on Think and Grow Rich. And they were talking about all the things that will help you in life. And I've heard this on more than one occasion. It says, you know, have a great partner. And I think, you know, he and I are great partners for each other in growing together. And he and I often say, and our kids are great. We have, I mean, they work hard. They're kind. They're all of that. And so we think, how would we have time to do all this if there were other issues that we had to manage or face, or if we didn't have each other's back
right,
in that way. So right. JJ will tell our kids all the time, probably the most important thing you can do is pick the right partner for you.
Right. And if it's not a partner, a life partner, you have partners in other ways
right.
that can help you do what you need to do. Because, you know, it like being an entrepreneur, I mean, that's kind of a lonely journey, right? It's all up to you, what have you. But if you don't have good partners in your business with you, you know, like my team is amazing. You know, I've got my business consultant, amazing. Like all these people that I can count on to help me make decisions, to keep me on track, to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing, or else, it's not fun.
Well, it's probably part of you building that environment, that culture as the leader, right?
Right.
To be able
right.
to say, this is, I want you to
I'm
call
lucky.
Me out.
I must have something good going on because I attract really good people. I also attract people that, I love this about us, is that the people that work with 100th Monkey and then the people that help out with TEDx, it's all people that just are, they manage themselves. They are responsible human beings. You don't have to babysit anybody. They just do what they're supposed to be doing to make it all work. And then it's way more fun to work in that environment than constantly like, did you do this? Did you get that done? Did you, you know, I mean, not to say that we don't need, I need them to tell me, like, did you? I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't do that. Why didn't that make it on my notes? If it's not on my notes, it's a problem. But, you know, it's good to have those people that just kind of are working with you and you're all moving in the direction of let's be better.
And I think both as a leader to set that culture up well and know that, you know, you're open to that kind of feedback and holding yourself accountable. I often think, you know, had I known 20 something years ago, you can go and interview for a job, you know, who your leader is, the culture, the mission, the values, those would be great questions and things to uncover.
Yeah.
Are you aligned with what they value and how they work on a day-to-day basis? Because you're there. You're working most
a
of
lot
your
of hours.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Most of your daytime hours during the week are at work. Yeah. So you want that. And, you know, I think the other thing is that, so you were talking about, you know, the whole leadership thing and being open to people telling you your blind spots is one of the things I think is really important. I need to know if I have a blind spot. I don't want to have blind spots. And it's part of my growth. So my team knows if you've got a blind spot, like point, like, Mish, you have a blind spot. And this is what it is. So that I can grow from that. And I would never get mad at someone. I'm also not like, what? I think you're wrong. I mean, I'm like, okay, tell me. Let's talk about it so I can like get a sense of what this is so I can work through it. I think that's really important.
What I've learned is everything I'm learning about being a leader is from parenting and vice versa. You know, so to do that, the same things back when I grew up decades ago, you know, the culture was different. You didn't talk back. You didn't ask mm-hmm. questions. You know, the parent was the final word. And trying to adjust that with my kids as parenting to let them know they can have a voice.
Yeah.
And as long as we approach it in the right manner, they should speak up for themselves instead of being 40 and figuring this out.
Yeah, but it's part of it. You right. know what I mean? And then you just, the hope is every generation gets better because we've learned more and we're teaching them more of, you know, hey, here's the blind spots I saw with my parents. I don't want to have those blind spots. And I talk about that with my daughter. I'm like, you know, I'm sure I had blind spots. So just know them and recognize them so that you need to do better. That's the whole idea is you do better than me, you know? So.
And I think that idea of you can't be perfect. You'll never be perfect.
No.
So trying to obtain perfection all the time is really going to inhibit you from learning
exactly.
and growing.
Exactly. Not to mention it seems really like a lot of work. I'd be really tired if I was trying to be perfect all the time. I can't.
Right.
Well, tell people where they can find out more about you and your podcast and everything that you do.
Well, luckily, like I said, I have a great husband who set up a wonderful website and puts the podcast out on every YouTube, you know, Podbean, I mean, Apple, all those places where you can find
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, easy to find.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Again, you're the technical social media side, not my expertise. Give me some numbers all day long. So the She Lifts Project, you can find it anywhere. It's, you know, blue logo, two girls on it. He makes the content. Facebook, LinkedIn. We also have pages there. And then I'm throughout on those two.
And you're on LinkedIn. Like right. Everything about you is on LinkedIn, which is awesome.
I try to put messages out there that things I find that I thought, oh, wow, I really needed to see this. And that's how a lot of it started years ago with the whole running thing and reading books. I started posting a couple things on Facebook just as me. And the reactions were great. So it's like, well, I don't know. Either I want to see this a year from now, or if I am, you know, impacted by this, maybe somebody else would be.
Well, exactly. And people like to learn more about the person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like being the person on your social media is a big deal.
Right. Yeah. Not being afraid to be smart about it, but be you.
Right. Exactly. Well, I have some fun questions for you. Oh, are you ready?
Sure.
This is just to take us into new places. All right. Is there an item that you tend to overbuy at the grocery store? Like, you, it may not be on your list, but you feel this need to just keep buying it?
I probably don't go to the grocery store as much as my husband does. But if I did, it'd probably be something sweet, like candy or
like baked goods. I better get some more candy.
Yeah.
I like that. For me, weirdly, I'm on this butter obsession. This is why I thought of this question. I keep buying butter.
Butter.
I'll go to the grocery store and be like, do I have butter? I don't. I'm going to buy some more. And then I get home like, okay, I now have 3 packages plus now I have 4. I have so much butter.
So if there's a butter shortage, we're coming to you.
My place is the place to be. I have plenty of butter. I don't know why I have to quit. But I literally think I need to put on my grocery list, do not buy butter.
Take a picture of your fridge in that space before you
There's no need for this. There's a reason why I am not on the grocery list. Oh, it's hilarious. All right. If you had a pet parrot, what would you teach it to say?
Ooh, well, there would probably be some weird, funny, maybe not appropriate, I don't know, things for sure. And maybe even geared specifically to my husband, you know, be quiet. But I think things that I still probably need to hear are just, you know, I don't know. Again, we would have a lot of fun with it, but probably the other emotional things like love yourself, you're worth
yeah.
it. You know, kind of that, you know, bring light. I don't know.
I love it. You could have the parrot do mantras. That's a good idea. Like whatever mantra you're working on, be like, parrot, you must learn this and say it several times a day so that I get it in my head.
And how do we make fun of my husband? Because he would do the same thing and it would be worse. So turnabout is fair
play. Of course. Yeah, absolutely. I think you should definitely have some good or some great, you know, one-liners from movies would be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be. He's great at that. I'm not. So, yeah, he would like that too, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. How hilarious. Okay, so this podcast is all about kindness. I love kindness. I want more kindness. So share with us something that you've either witnessed, received, or given as of late when it comes to kindness.
You know, it's funny. I try to get outside of myself now. I think in the past, I thought, what important thing do I have to say? What does it matter? Who really, you know, who is Cynthia and what does she have to say of importance in this life where it will make a difference? And I've tried to flip that around, especially with the posting I've done on Facebook, even before she left, and realizing it does have an impact. So just this past Saturday, I went to STL City's home opener, and I was in the bathroom, and I saw this woman, gorgeous woman, and she's primping and getting ready, and I just, you know, I'm washing my hands, and I've got my, you know, husband of 21 years almost, and he's outside, and I'm like, ah, you know, we love each other, we're good. But I could tell she was just fussing over it, and mm-hmm. I just looked over, and I said, girl, you got it going on. You look great. Just, you don't need to do anything else. And I don't know. I just, the look in her face, it was, I was honest, but I felt so good after that. I thought,
well,
I don't know this woman. I may not ever see her again, but she had it all going on. And I just wanted her to know, stop worrying. You're great.
And I also think when you get that inkling to say something like that to someone, you need to just say it. Like, don't be afraid. Just say it because it makes that person you know, and you never know if that's just the universe saying, hey, this person needs a little bit of confidence right now. And if you just say this to them, that's what they're going to need to carry them through this day, then say it.
Right. I mean,
it's not difficult.
It's easy. Human nature is to be negative, see the negative and protect ourselves, right? From, you know, back in the day when cavemen or whatever, that's easy, natural. And so I think in most people, they, you know, the news, right, feeds off of the negative mm-hmm. because that's what gets eyeballs, which gets money on ads and things. And so I think it's harder to put the kindness out there. But in my mind, you know, again, if we're going to temper, lower, snuff out the darkness, the more kindness and love and light we
yes.
can put out there.
Yes, fill up the world with it.
Yeah, let's multiply our voices.
Yes, I like
just
it.
The negative ones.
I like it. Yes, absolutely. I mean, and there's so much noise out there that is icky.
Yeah, and it takes all of us every day in those little moments to genuinely mean it, but do it. And yeah. it takes 2 seconds, yeah. and you never
Easy.
Know.
Easy peasy. And even if the person just is like, and walks away, hey, you know, who knows? Right?
Right.
I mean, that's happened. I told some guy I liked his hat and he looked at me and he started walking the other direction like, I'm like, okay.
Well, and those people, you
but
know.
But I do like your hat, sir. But okay, see you later.
It's more about them and whatever they're going on. And maybe they're, you know what? Maybe there's somebody around that that picked up on that and took away something
there
positive
you go.
From it.
Exactly. I mean, my thought is it's not going to stop me from doing it because 99% of the time it's awesome.
Right.
It was the right thing to do. So 1%.
What was the last bit of kindness outside of the hat thing that you did?
Oh, let's see. What
other
have
than
I,
having me here
what
today?
What have I done kind lately? I don't know.
Probably too many things you can't.
Well, it's you know, I think it's just my general way of being in the world is I believe that, I think that me just talking to people, I just love people. And I'm genuinely interested in who they are and what they're doing. And so I think that alone, just people like that, it makes them feel like they're part of something that, I don't know. I mean, that's how I want people to treat me. Hence, I'm going to treat people that way. And it works out pretty good.
And I think it's the little things along the way. Actually, I forgot this morning, my husband went out to go do some video thing. I worked from home until I came here and I put a little sticky note above the stove that just said, love you, and then my little nickname for him.
Yes, thought, there you go.
Well, he's done that for me, so I even forgot about it. But those, it's all about the little gestures in life, not the grand. I mean, those are great, but those little moments of kindness that propel us.
Well, and you know, so I thought of something, and the reason why I want to share this story is because, to me, this was such a, wow, I'm living life right. Because I had a neighbor recently who her husband was out of town and she needed to go to the emergency room. And she thought to call me. Out of everybody in her building, she called me and asked me if I could take her to the emergency room. And I'm like, I'm there. Let's go, you know. So got her to the emergency room and everything. And she ended up having to be there for quite a while. But later, her and her husband were just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was like, you know what? But thank you. I mean, the fact that you felt comfortable enough to call me and that you knew that I would take you, that tells me a lot. That says I'm showing up right. I'm doing the right thing.
It's amazing you say this. We recorded a podcast a couple weeks ago, and I think it was there and other places where, you know, give others the opportunity to help you because they or don't deny them the opportunity to help you and give love and advice and care. And I hadn't really thought about it that way, you know, when you ask for help or when you that person is helping but is receiving so much in return. So don't fear that you're bothering someone.
Right.
Or, like, don't deny them the gift and opportunity to spread kindness and love.
Because, like, had I found out later that she didn't have a ride and she had, like, to wait till one of the family members, I mean, she was in pain, I would have been, like, thinking to myself, how come you didn't call me? Like, do I not seem like the kind of person you could call? You could totally call me. You know what I mean? So it was just this, and you know, and it's just become, you know, it's like even enhanced our friendship even more. She actually was celebrating her 10 years being cancer free last Saturday. So I got to go to the party that she had for that. And, you know, it's just really, it just makes it even better to live in my loft building with these people that I love and adore and can have these amazing relationships with. So, yay. Yay, yes, Cynthia.
Yeah, yay. Good stories. See, you weren't sure, but those are good stories.
Well, I love that you've been on the podcast today. It's so much fun that I had you and JJ at separate times too, which I loved. I was like, you guys don't have to come on together. You want to just do your own thing? And you guys are like, yeah. I'm like, all right, awesome. So thank you both for doing this for me.
Well, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for coming on the podcast with me. Go check it out. She has amazing things to say.
Fun
and
stuff.
Just, you know, all that you're doing. I mean, everybody who I say is, oh, I'm going to go do this podcast with Mish. Oh, I talked to Mish. I love Mish. She's amazing.
Yay.
So
love hearing that. Yes. That's good. Well, and right back at you. It's the same thing. Every time I say anything about Cynthia, I get the same thing. So it's good. We're doing good things.
Little love fest going on.
Love,
that's good.
We love each other. All right. Well, thank you very much for being a guest today.
Thank you.
Everybody out there, you've been listening to Mishmash Podcast. Go be kind and wonderful and all those good things. Thank you. Bye. Mwah. Love you.